hashtag Beckley Babies. We've got a new family here on Fox. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome
to the
first ever Almost Family After Show. We're almost family here, guys.
Yeah.
We are family.
Ooh, we could do that song too.
We're going to get closer and closer.
I love it.
Tonight we're going to talk about episode one, the pilot. Tonight we're going to talk about the new sisters that we've all just met. We also have a criminal father. We have our predictions, news and gossip, our special segment, top three. And ladies, can you tell us who you are?
Hello, guys. I'm Jessica Lucero. Thanks so much for joining us. I mentioned to those of you tuning into the live chat, thank you guys so much for staying posted with us, staying patient. We're so excited to talk about this pilot episode.
Hey guys, I'm Bethany Jean, and I'm obsessed with DNA stuff, so I'm pretty excited about this panel.
And I am your moderator, Princess Carol. I have a family full of women, so I'm excited to watch a show about sisters.
Yeah.
All right, guys, so let's go ahead and get right into it. What were your overall thoughts?
I loved it.
I really like it.
Yeah.
And I really like Emily Osment.
I love her so much.
She's the joy.
I have to be honest, this is the first thing I've ever really watched her in, because she was kind of a Disney star when I was past Disney watching age. So to me, she was just Haley Joel Osment's twin face sister.
Right.
Like, they're
fair enough.
The same face to me. So it was kind of cool to watch her and watch her as an adult. And I love her character. It's just so over the top.
And
it
was kind of cool.
She's kind of trashy.
Yeah. It was kind of cool to see her singing a little bit more.
Yes.
Okay, right. So this is really funny. I did know that she sang only because I watch the original Sleeping Beauty. I have it on DVD, and I watch it with my daughter, Bowie. And at the end, there's like a music video that Haley, we're going to do that all the whole time, that Emily Osment is singing I Know You. And I was like, oh, she sings, but she's young there. And now I just heard her adult singing voice tonight. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's a gorgeous voice.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I have a great little news segment coming for you guys. So.
All right.
Yeah.
I love it.
Just tease that a little bit.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm a big Emily fan, too, ever since she was Lily on Hannah Montana. And I did watch Young and Hungry for a bit. But let's go ahead and get into the episode. So we are introduced to our three leads. We have Julia, Edie, and Roxy. Let's start with Julia. She has a very complicated relationship with her dad / criminal father. What'd you guys think of her?
It's just funny how she really has always looked up to him, especially since it's now just the two of them. We aren't completely positive on when her mom passed away. Right, that wasn't mentioned.
No.
It was brought up later. But yeah.
I mean, we know she passed. We don't know how long ago.
Yeah. Okay, right. Ago, yeah. So it's just the two of them. It seems like she's really looked up to him her entire life. And you can tell with the way they interact with each other that that's pretty much how it's always been. Like, he has always kind of told her what to do. And since her father is so well known in that industry, I think she kind of just really looked up to him and would kind of do whatever he said. Like, he seemed to be so well put together that she was like, if I just do everything that he says, then I'll kind of follow in his footsteps. And she's like completely betrayed by him now, obviously, as the entire world is betrayed at this point.
And he's such like a narcissist. This controlling, manipulative ego, and then she somehow has been raised by him, maybe exclusively, because we don't know how old mom was when she passed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's completely unscathed. Like, she's just really sweet. I mean, if anything, maybe she would fall in like a codependent category or something, but she's just a really sweet, normal girl.
Right. I don't know about sweet, though. She seems she has a little bit of
sassy.
A rough edge.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, she seems a little
she's
bitter.
She's in an extreme scenario.
Right.
Well, prior to that, she seemed a little bitter, Bethany.
But you know what?
Not Bethany. I just say it on the right. I just realized you're also Bethany, but not you.
That's hilarious.
You use that as a term? Bitter
I do.
Bethany?
Oh, in Negative
funny.
Nancy. The same thing.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know shade.
Never heard this. No shade.
But
it's also really funny because she almost in a way had, okay, I say this very lightly, but like daddy issues, because she was going on her app, her dating app, the whole time.
Yes.
And like always talking about guys. And she even mentioned how Edie's now with the guy that she was originally with Tim. And I feel like that was a reoccurring subject. Mm-hmm. So guys, don't forget to let us know what you think about Julia as well. Make sure to scroll through.
Yes. I thought it was interesting that they made her character kind of promiscuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
I think it's so interesting that they all have... I feel like they all have the same root issue, but it just shows up in different ways. And I think that's really cool because that's life. Like, we all may have similar issues, but the way that they show up or the way that they manifest just can look so different. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I love that. And the next person I wanted to get into is actually Edie, because she's going through a lot right now as well. Mm-hmm, what did you guys think of her and her relationship with Tim, her husband?
I feel like she is just very into holding herself out to be this perfectionist, because growing up she grew up with a single mom who kind of struggled a little bit, and so she's always wanted to like put on this front that she is perfect. Obviously no one's perfect, but she's trying her hardest to achieve that perfection, you know what I mean? So now this happening is just taking a whole other turn, and she's obviously finding herself a little bit later in life than people might find themselves. But I guess sort of realizing that now I think she is into women. That was sort of confirmed in this episode. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. I didn't see that coming.
She seemed really cut off by her interests, though.
Like confused.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I wonder if it's more of it seemed like there was an issue leading up to this, and this was kind of like the catalyst. So I wonder if we'll see her start to navigate this time where she's just uncertain. I don't know. I would love to hear more of the backstory between her and Tim. And speaking of Tim, what did mm-hmm. you guys think of him? Did you think it was appropriate for him to go and meet with Julia? Do you think he really loves Edie?
No.
What do you guys think?
I did not find that as being appropriate. Nothing,
neither of them are really respecting the boundaries of their marriage. Her, obviously.
Especially that they have a
text would have sufficed.
Yeah.
He could have texted her and just been like, hey, I just want you to know I was rooting for picking up your case, but there's conflict. We can't do it. Best of luck. I wish we could help.
You know what else I did notice about Edie is that she's like easily told basically how she is as a person, and mm-hmm. then she starts to identify with that. When her mom called her broken, then she ended up later using that word when she described herself to Tim. And then when Amanda started hitting on her, asking if they were on the same team or if they mm-hmm. played for the same team, however mm-hmm. they worded it. And then later on in the episode, she ends up kissing Amanda. So I thought that was interesting, too, and I can't quite figure out why mm-hmm. that is. So if you guys have any insight.
Well, she's obviously not, like, super madly in love, happy with her husband.
No.
I'm going to go ahead and say. So I feel like there was maybe already a little cracked door of opportunity for her, mm-hmm. and I think that person, Amanda, was just the first person to show her attention. Like, I don't
she
know
did
if
call it thread, like a piece of thread
coming out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jazzy Jones on the live chat is giving us a lot of feedback. To go scroll up to the top for a second, she said, Julia to me is complicated, especially dealing with what her father has done for years and didn't know about it. Completely agree with you there. Mm-hmm. And then she also makes the prediction that Edie and Tim will definitely get a divorce, especially now that she's finding out that she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I feel like if they weren't to get a divorce after the way their relationship mm-hmm. went just in this pilot episode, I would be shocked. I don't know how soon that's going to come.
Yeah, I think it's so early. I feel like this is so new for her. It'll be interesting to see her arc this season.
And mm-hmm. I also don't know if she would want to easily divorce her husband Tim, because it almost be like Julia's winning, you know what I mean?
And also, I was just gonna say, she's a winner, she doesn't fail.
She's too competitive for that, so I don't know.
Interesting, we'll
I
find
feel
out.
Like
they might hang on to
Tim
that.
Deserves a divorce. Nothing against Edie, mm-hmm. I just don't think she's like head over heels in love with him, and everyone He's deserves trying. To be loved by their spouse, you know.
I don't know. I feel like it's just so early, and there's so much we don't know about them. And he wants to fight, but maybe there's just so many reasons why she's in this place. So it'll be interesting to kind of see their backstory and find out a little bit more. But one person that we all seem to love is Roxy. I really like Roxy. And
so
I,
spicy.
Yeah, I love Emily's character. I'm used to seeing her young and hungry, like I said, and then her play Lily. So this is a different character from what mm-hmm. I've seen before from her. So what did you guys think? I think we were all laughing.
I'm laughing because I wrote down that she reminded me of Violet from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. When she walked into her house and she has like the I Love Roxy sign behind her, whatever it was, and like all of her awards from when she was a gymnast, I just remember sitting there thinking, wow, this reminds me of Violet from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
You're turning Violet.
Yeah. Violet. With all of her awards behind her, and she's just so proud and like into herself. But then she also reminds me of someone who peaked in high school. You know what I mean?
Like, I could see that.
They're so stuck to their ways and like they're so confident from 10 years ago or whatever it was, 5-10 years ago. Even though it's like, come on, man, like, you got to do something new.
I actually feel really bad for her character.
Right.
Like, yeah. Her parents, I'm not saying they don't love her, but they obviously use her.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's a harsh term, but, you know.
That's true.
That's a lot of pressure for her to support the fam. She's so quick to detach from them, so there's got to be a lot to that dynamic in that relationship for her to just be like, cool, I have a new family, bye. Like, you guys suck, I'm out of here.
She's super happy to
lots of anger issues, obviously.
But we love her.
She brings a lot of comedy to the show. It's like such a heavy, serious topic, and then her character is just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I have like a list of her one-liners. She was so funny.
We should do a compilation at the end. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But speaking of family, Bethany, do you have a message for our family out there?
Yeah. Hey, guys, we just want to thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And if whatever platform you're on, be sure to subscribe, like, comment, give us 2 thumbs up, give us 5 stars because they're the only stars that count. And just keep interacting with us because we love hearing from you guys. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned how she has sort of lightened this episode or this entire series, being that it is a serious matter, especially now that there's
we need her character.
We need that comic relief. And a lot of it is not because she's funny, because clearly everyone's broken in a different way, but she just, I don't know if it's her age or just I'm a Roxy.
She's
fan
kind of
already.
The
I'm
Toby Damon, like in This Is Us. Like just comes in with like her little funny
her little
lines.
One-liners.
It's a heavy topic.
Yeah. And have you guys noticed that this is kind of reoccurring lately now that 23andMe is a thing and social media, everyone's so active on social media.
Yeah.
It's so easy for people to find out if they do have other family members. It's like these men and women, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it could be both. I don't know exactly how it would work. But that maybe went out and got a little risque back in the day and tried to hide it. It's like, they can't
or
hide it.
Or didn't know.
Yeah, or didn't know.
Yeah.
We have a situation in our own family. Yeah. I had an uncle who did not know. He had a son. And then his son married a DNA doctor.
Really?
He was adopted, and so she was like, let's just find your DNA.
Well, that happened to Julia in this episode.
I know.
She had a hookup with someone who ended up possibly, potentially being her brother, so that's super awkward.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's gross.
But let's go ahead and get into the dad. I just wanted to talk about him real quick. It seems like he has a very interesting relationship with the women around him, which we talked about kind of offline. All the nurses surrounding him were female. Edie's mom seemed like she was kind of complicit with all of this. So what did you guys think of the dad and just the situation? I want to hear your thoughts.
Oh god, I don't even I just think that what he did was so repulsive, and it's just hard to think like people actually do this, you know? It's so hard to see the way he holds himself. Like, he's narcissist.
Oh, he's incredibly narcissistic.
Huge narcissist.
What did you guys think of the him being tried with rape or sexual assault?
I think it makes sense. I feel like from the very beginning,
it's bold, but like kind of tracks too.
Yeah, it's a power move. You know, I mean, I used to watch SVU, and the people that do that, it's usually that power that they're seeking, or there's a dominance that they're looking for. And I feel like, to me, when they announced that, I was like, okay, SVU, I agree. Yeah. What do you guys think?
And it's against their will, so mm-hmm. it does fall under that category in a way. So, I mean, I don't know exactly.
I mean, it's just a really bold.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where it goes because, like I said, you had Edie's mom who seemed to, in a way, defend it. Well, do
we know that she knew?
She made it seem like she knew. Like,
she said she assumed.
Yeah, it seemed like she was okay Edie's with
mom.
It. Yeah.
Sorry, I was confused. I thought you meant Julia's mom.
No, Edie's mom. So it'll be interesting. I wonder if there's going to be like a cool take on women's issues in this particular issue. I'm excited.
Well, Edie's mom is a really cool character too.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to see more from her. She's obviously kind of like free-spirited.
Yeah.
You know.
Kind of reminds me of Rainbow from Black-ish.
I really I love her character. I feel like she's actually going to hold a little bit of a bigger role than I kind of assumed at first. I didn't think that the parents would have too big of a role, but after seeing Roxy's parents a few times and then seeing Edie's parents as well, I feel like, I don't know, I just love Edie's mom's free spirit.
I even thought for a minute, I wondered if Edie's mom and him might have at some point had an actual affair.
I could see that. I got that vibe too.
Because she speaks of him very like she gets him and she appreciates him for who he is. And she's not like offended.
And Edie and Julia grew up together.
Yeah. Right. And they were close. But she was friends with her mom. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Interesting.
Scandalous. I love it. Speaking of scandalous, let's get back to our favorite couple, the Palmers. Do you think they should have taken the case, or do you think it was right for them to just go with Edie's decision not to take the case?
I think it would be a conflict of interest for her to take the case.
I don't know how she could.
Prior to her knowing that, I was just interested, that's all. It's just me.
I think they did the right thing not taking the case just because they're already affiliated with that family.
I mean, she would essentially be part of the lawsuit.
Yeah. I don't think
or whatever. Like, if you're actually tallying up victims, she would be... I mean, it just doesn't, make sense. I think even if they did go in, they would have had to fall out and defer to a different attorney.
Yeah. I guess Tim probably looked at it as... I don't know. He seemed to be really invested. I guess time will tell what his relationship is going to look like with Julia.
I love reading these comments right now in the live chat.
I personally think they're going to have an affair.
Affairs all the way around.
Everybody oh my gosh, there's going to be so many affairs.
I think Tim and Julia are going to kiss or something.
For sure.
At some point. And then it's going to be weird because it's her sister.
Oh, God.
I hope not. Oh, man.
So, save it for predictions, guys.
Going through the live chat right now, we've got lots of comments going off on Dr. Beckley right now, talking about how much of a narcissist he is.
Insufferable human.
Renji 90998 says, definitely a narcissist, really thinks he's not a villain in all of this, when obviously he is.
Yeah, no, he's the hero. Hadn't you heard?
Shanice, sweet smile. The fact that he still thinks what he did was okay is sickening. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
By the way, can we just talk about the look on his face when he was getting arrested?
Oh, the death glare.
And he's looking at Julia.
Yeah.
And kudos to music department. They play You Don't Own Me, and he's looking at her like, I disown you.
I wrote down their names, Christy Ilias and David J. Schwartz, because they did such a great job with the music in this episode. First off, using Lizzo as like the soundtrack of this season. I just took a DNA test and I'm like, oh my God, yes, so accurate. I love that. So I think they did a great job throughout this entire episode. And then shout even out. Having Roxy singing, and they had that music mixed throughout the rest of that. After Buzz TV dramas put DNA test.
Hashtag Beckley babies.
You are the father.
Yeah. You are the father. That's super awkward. There should be a Maury episode. Anyway.
Right.
Before we move on, I just wanted to talk about Roxy one more time. So at the end, we see her taking some pills, recording a video. Are we concerned for her? I thought it was a suicide attempt, but I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that before we move out.
I don't know if I thought it was a suicide attempt. Yeah. I think her whole life is a cry for help.
Okay. Yes. I think
more so than a real threat. I think she's just more like can I get attention? I'm clearly not okay. Mm-hmm. Like, throwing herself on whoever will have her as family.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I definitely just feel bad for Roxy, the way she was raised and literally being used by her family. They they said that she's their only income. It's like, she needs to get out of that family and or kick them out or whatever. If she's paying their rent, yeah, she should for sure get them out of there, because that's just sad. Like, she doesn't need to deal with that. She shouldn't, at that young age, already be responsible for her parents, you know?
Well, we saw her take the pills. Do you think that that might allude to an addiction? What did you guys think?
Yes. Potentially addiction. Mm-hmm. But also, she was a gymnast, so I know that gymnasts, cheerleaders, people who are very, like, competitive in that sort of, in that those types of athletics, they have a lot of, like, sore muscles, and honestly, like, their body is just, like, not okay by that age.
For sure.
So it could even just relate to something as simple as that, her trying to numb the pain a little bit. So
she probably has a lot. She may have had surgeries and stuff too.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how all of that unfolds. I'm really into camera angles, and when I see them pay close attention to particular items, I feel like, okay, I'm gonna watch out for that bottle in the future.
Yeah.
See what that's foreshadowing. But guys, that is the episode. Let's move on to our next topic. So now we're going to get into news and gossip with Miss Jessica. All right, give us the tea.
Love this, love this. Okay, guys, I have some tea for you. So once I heard about Almost Family in the first place, I did a little research because I was like, this sounds familiar. You know, like, I've heard this story before. And basically, there were so many cases online. There's one that I'm looking up right now, and it was Dr. Norman Barwin that you guys are able to see in a sec. It says, fertility doctor loses license after using his own sperm. I believe he had somewhere between 50 and 100.
In the 70s?
Yeah, this was back in the 70s. So this has been dating back years and years, back in Ontario, Canada. And then there was another case that I looked up. The New York Times printed this one. And it says, a fertility doctor uses his sperm on unwitting women. Their children want answers. Dun, dun, dun.
Should we make only female fertility doctors?
Right. Maybe we trust them a little bit more. Basically, he had more than 36 children, or 36 people who thought that he could have been their father. So this isn't something new. This isn't something that the producers really, like, schemed up on their own. They definitely had the help of this being real life. It actually happened. Mm-hmm. So it's gross to see how many people
about
do
the
this.
Power thing. Yeah. Like, they're kind of like duping women. It feels very Bill Cosby.
Like, it's oh my gosh. So accurate.
It's so sad.
There's just one other little news segment that I wanted to share with you guys, because the Almost Family Twitter went out and tweeted a couple days ago asking, telling the audience members, go ahead and ask us some of your guys' questions. And so, me being excited for this pilot episode, I'm like, okay, I have a question for you guys. So I ended up asking them what they sort of did to bond off of TV, off of camera, what they did. And so actually, Megalyn, who plays Edie, she ended up answering my question. So let's see if we can go ahead and play that for you guys.
Have fun.
Hi, Jessica. Okay, so one of our favorite things to do offset and in our spare time is karaoke. You can probably guess that. We're all singers. We all love to sing. We're all hams. sometimes Emily and I do duets.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
If you have any requests, let us know.
Yeah, so I loved that.
I love that.
Right? Make a request, guys.
Wasn't that so cute? I was like, oh my god, they tweeted me. Like, I felt so special. And then once she gave the answer and I watched this episode, I was like, wow, this makes so much sense that they literally are singing throughout this entire
Sam
episode.
Elliott song.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping that we get to hear a little bit of Julia and Edie sing throughout this season as well.
I'm sure we will. I think karaoke will play a role in the sister bonding.
Definitely. Yeah, that's another one of their similarities next to their
There's teeth tapping or whatever. And lactose intolerance.
And more to come, I'm sure, because they got the same daddy. So, yeah. All right, next up, guys, we have our special segment. It's going to be led by Bethany. It's DNA Dominoes.
DNA Dominoes. Just came up with that, not going to lie.
It's a good one.
So we wanted to do a segment about unlikely pairings in Hollywood and the celebrity world and entertainment. So tonight we're going to do, surprise, Nicolas Cage is the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola, who, for you that might be unaware of who that is, he's director, writer, producer. He did, you know, a little series called The Godfather.
Just saying.
Yeah. Also things like Lost in Translation, Marie Antoinette, The Conversationalist, Jack, The Secret Garden. There were so many, I couldn't even keep up with them all. But turns out Nicolas Cage, stage name, his real name is Nicolas Kim Coppola. And he, when he started venturing into acting, he decided to drop Coppola because he didn't want ties to the name. He wanted to be an actor fair and square, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, and he chose Cage in kind of like a homage to his favorite superhero, Luke Cage.
Oh,
kind of cute and cool.
I like that. Yeah. I didn't even know. I like Luke Cage. I'm a big fan. I wish it hadn't gone off. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway, next up we have our top three.
Yes,
Jessica.
Guys. So we decided that we wanted to do a top three families that are sort of big in the Hollywood scene. As you guys know, there's tons of those families at this point. The list could
just... The Partridges, the Bradys.
No, I'm just kidding.
Real family.
I love that. But basically, we want to give you guys our version of the top three biggest Hollywood names. We're going to go with that. So starting off with number three... Talk about one who recently celebrated a wedding. Any guesses? Go ahead and leave your comments.
Wedding.
Quick. Okay. We're going to go with the Baldwins. Haley, yeah. Of course. That's probably the name who comes off of everyone, like the top of your head.
I just think of the brothers. I kind of forget about her.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, them no, too. She's a very popular person.
Yeah, there's tons of them. Yeah, she's not even a Baldwin anymore. She's a Bieber.
She's a Bieber. Yeah.
Right?
She's
it's
a Bieber.
Oh, new acronym. Cute. Okay, up next we've got the Arquettes.
The Arquettes, who I love.
She's Arquette a big
family.
Fan over here. Patricia.
Yes, Patricia's my favorite.
Recently did
I
amazing.
Love
in the act.
And David, of course, and Rosanna, and the late Alexis.
So many. These families are insane. And then, drum roll, please. I'm just going to give myself a little... Oh, wow! He knew it was coming!
The most famous
The Jacksons! There it is! Obviously, you got Michael Jackson, the biggest name ever.
You might have heard of him.
Maybe you've heard of him. I don't know. Yeah, rest in peace. Can't forget that. You got Janet Jackson. I mean, the Jackson 5 just has five of them right there. So there's a ton of them. The list could go on. This could actually be kind of fun.
Latoya had a little career.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of Jacksons.
There's a whole lot of Jacksons.
All the Jacksons.
They need to have a Keeping Up with the Jacksons.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we don't want to keep up with that other...
The Jacksons. The Jacksons, 17. I don't know how many there are, just 17.
A couple of you guys also said the Biebs, or you might just be relating to the fact that I was talking about Haley Baldwin, but either way. Yep, the Biebers.
Jay Biebs, Justin Biebs.
Love them.
Thank you, ma'am.
Of course.
Thank you. So let's go ahead and get into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Love that.
So we did see a preview of next week's episode. But guys, what do you think is going to happen this season? It's only 8 episodes, so it's pretty quick.
So what I think, it is interesting though that there's only 8 episodes. So I feel like it's going to have to go pretty quick, like you mentioned. I feel like their personalities are very different. Like, while they do have these similarities, like we've touched on the tooth tapping and the little tongue thing that they were doing for a second, their lactose intolerance, whatever. I think that they're going to sort of rub off on each other for the better.
Totally.
That being said, I think Roxy is a little immature at this point. She's never really had to grow up in that aspect. She was a gymnast, so she could sort of be however she wanted. You know what I mean? She kind of wanted to have more fun when she's performing. But I think she's going to grow up a little bit more being around someone like Edie and Julia, who are a little bit more mature, I would say. And then someone like Edie, who is very serious, very competitive. I'm hoping that she ends up having a little bit more fun throughout the rest of the season, because we don't want to see just the serious side of her, you know? We want to see her have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I agree. I like that idea of them kind of rounding each other out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's cool. My predictions are sad and dark. And we kind of already touched on it, but I do think Edie and Tim are going to probably divorce, and I suspect Tim and Julia are going to have a moment of something of temptation. I don't know if they'll actually fall through on anything, because now Edie and Julia will become close, and that'll be another whole nother conflict. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch that trio.
Interesting. I think that I agree. I think that Julia and Tim will come close, but I think because they're sisters now, I don't think Julia would do that.
Yeah.
As far as Tim and Edie, I don't know. I think it's too early for me, but I do look forward to seeing, in a weird way, seeing Edie unravel. But then I think she'll come back together. Like she'll figure herself out in the process, but I think she just needs to go through her journey, and it'll be interesting to see where she lands at the end of the journey.
Right.
Could go in so many different directions. She could be like, I don't want anybody, I just want to be by myself. So
especially with her and Amanda, and now Amanda being on the opposing side of this case, do you think that they're going to continue to sort of have these little moments, or do you think she's going to drop it? Like, that's going to be...
Well, they showed it in the previews.
But oh, that's true. That's true.
They're in
that's true. That is a conflict of interest as well.
Oh my God, you guys, I have to share this one live chat from Glow Loves Jomo. I love that name right there. She said, Edie needs some lady love.
Oh my God.
Yes. That's she so does. Funny. You're
they
right.
They need to hit up the gay bars together.
We gonna find out. We gonna find out. All right. Well, that was the pilot, guys. Oh, man. I'm excited. We got 7 episodes. It's so short.
I know.
Guys, where can we find you on social media?
Now that we have a second to catch our breath, you guys can find me at Jess Lucero Live on Twitter and Instagram. You guys saw my Twitter a minute ago, in case you didn't catch it. But
you guys can find me at Bethany Jean Official. That's Bethany with an IE.
Guys, I'm Princess Carol. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at PrincessCTV. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Peace out.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.